Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
I need to lose weight. Diet. Deprivation. Misery. Ugh.
What if you could lose weight without feeling awful? R3 Weight Loss by Susan Torberg is the real food plan you've been dreaming about. No calorie counting or journaling. A doable plan for real life. With R3 Weight Loss, you'll break those sugar and carb cravings but still be able to eat things you love, teaching you discipline and managing your weight for life. Visit r3weightlossplan.com. $39 will change your life.
Welcome to Beneath the Surface here at WCAP Radio 980 in your dial. Glad you could join us tonight. We have a very special show lined up for you tonight. We are here from 10 to 11 as usual, delving beneath the surface on topics important to you, bringing a little sanity into our age of insanity, a little life into our culture of death. Well, tonight, ladies and gentle things, two very special guests for you are here in studio. I don't know how my agent got to book them, but somehow he made it happen. Here they are. First, I have Saint Nicholas himself here in this WCAP studios. Saint Nicholas as well, and to his right and to my left is Santa Claus.
Ho, ho, ho.
Yes, Santa Claus and Saint Nicholas. St. Nicholas was a bishop of Myra, which was Asia Minor, I believe, and he'll correct me if I'm wrong, modern-day Turkey, a 4th century bishop for the church, who ended up being the patron saint of children. His feast day is December 6th. To his right, we have Santa Claus, the mythical character, if you will. He lives in the North Pole. He is surrounded by elves and reindeer and family members. And he will tell you a little bit about what life is in the North Pole and how he happens to know how children are either naughty or nice throughout the year. I've always wondered about that ever since I was a kid. And I listened to that song, Santa Claus is Coming to Town. I always wondered how he had that gift. Well, we'll find out tonight. Again, my guests tonight, two of them, two different guests, one beside the other. St. Nicholas and Santa Claus. If you want to talk to either one, our phone number here at Beneath the Surface Radio is 978-454-4980. That's 978-454-4980. Or you can give us a just a Facebook post of anything you want to say at facebook.com/fellowtruthseekers. That's all one word, fellow truth seekers. Okay, gentlemen, it is an honor, a great honor, for me to have you, and you're dressed so, in a sense, similarly, but a lot differently. Why don't I start with you, St. Nicholas. Thank you for coming into the 21st century and joining us in the WCAP studio tonight. It's incredible to have you here.
Thank you so much, Paul. It's great to be here. But what's this upstart here that you have next to me?
Well, he's Santa Claus, St. Nicholas. Apparently, I don't know exactly how it happened. I'm hoping one of you can tell me, but he eventually evolved or morphed out of you. You are a historical character. He is a character that sort of morphed out of you, but he has his own personality, and I can see the difference in not only your body types, but your personality. So, I don't know. That's all I can tell you right now. Maybe he'll fill us in a little more.
Have you not heard that imitation is the sincerest form of flattery?
Santa Claus, I think that's true. I have heard of that. Yes. Yes, indeed. So, back to you, St. Nicholas. You are an actual human being. You lived in the 4th century AD?
I did indeed.
And
3rd and 4th century.
3rd and 4th century. Okay. So, where did you grow up, Nicholas?
I grew up in Patara, in Lycia, in Asia Minor, as you pointed out. This was a coastal town, a port, if you will, along the southern coast of Asia Minor.
I see. Now, you grew up there? And is that where you...
Well, I was born there. You see, my parents were Greeks, and despite the fact that they were wealthy, they didn't have any children for many years. They were childless.
I see.
Yes, and they prayed very fervently to God that He would provide for them a child.
And you came to be.
And I came to be, March 15th, 270, in the year of our Lord.
I see. St. Nicholas, you say that you come from Greek parents. I would imagine that would make you Greek.
Yes, yes. In fact, my name is Greek.
Nicholas.
I was named after my uncle.
I see.
Yes, my name means the people's victor.
Wow. Now, I'm here trying to learn from both of you tonight. I find it interesting how Santa Claus, who is right next to you with his red suit and his white beard,
ho ho ho,
is very different than, at least different looking than Greek. I would imagine somebody looking Greek would be darker than Santa Claus and
yeah,
maybe darker
hair. Yeah, he is rather pale.
Yeah, he's kind of Scandinavian looking, isn't he?
Yes, yes, he is.
Northern European.
So, then I'll ask you, Santa Claus, where do you come from?
Well, various places.
I see.
You really have to dig into the soup, the mythology. There are a lot of ingredients that go into...
That created
these,
you.
That go into these various things. In particular, the American manifestation of Santa Claus comes basically from two sources. One is obviously English, from England.
Okay.
The other source is similar. It comes from Dutch, and then there are various northern country editions. And
okay. So Santa Claus, right off the top of my head, I when I say your name, I hear Santa, which in Latin means saints,
yes.
And Claus, to me at least, is short for Nicholas. Claus,
right.
The
name Santa Claus is,
yes,
a kind of a corruption from the Dutch Sinterklaas, and which was referring specifically to Saint Nicholas.
Now, do you, Santa Claus, do you feel guilty at all taking his place in history, in a sense, to a lot of people who don't study history?
Well, not necessarily guilt, but hopefully in shows like this, we can explain the origins of this, and we are carrying forward the best of St. Nicholas by giving to children.
Okay.
The spirit of St. Nicholas, so to speak.
Okay.
That could be said, yes.
Okay, so 978-454-4980 is our phone number. If you have any questions for either St. Nicholas or Santa Claus, that is, the historical St. Nicholas or the mythical Santa Claus, please give us a call here at WCAP 980, 978-454-4980. Now, gentlemen, I want to get beneath the surface as to who you are and how this difference occurred in both of you, and why there are two different people in my studio right now rather than one. St. Nicholas, you grew up in Asia Minor, and you were, I think, if, correct me if I'm wrong, St. Nicholas, but...
Absolutely.
Thank you. You were best known for perhaps two things, all right? Number
mm-hmm.
one... You are the patron saint of children, and
yes.
Number two, you were instrumental in the Council of Nicaea. Is that correct?
Yes. At least I attended the Council of Nicaea.
St. Nicholas, why don't you put your microphone a little closer to your mouth? Lift it up a little bit. Thank you, St. Nicholas. So, why don't you let us in on how you're the patron saint of Santa? Excuse me, of of children, and then perhaps that can give us a little insight as to how you eventually morphed into who you're sitting next to here, Santa Claus.
Yes. Well, there is that story which I really didn't want to be told. I wanted it to be kept secret, for as it says in the Gospels, do not let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. But
or else you won't get as many treasures in heaven. Is that what you're saying, Saint?
Yes. It wasn't really under my control. So let me go back to my childhood.
Sure.
So when I was young, my parents, unfortunately, sadly, died of the plague.
Ah.
And I was commended to my uncle's care. My uncle was the Bishop of Myra, which is next to the city that I was born in. And he taught me how to read and write, and he also brought me with him whenever he visited the poor. And I would watch him and see what he did, and he would when he met someone who was in need, press a coin into their hands as he left to provide for them. And this deeply touched me.
And you were a child at the time, St. Nicholas.
I was a child, yes.
Okay.
Yes. And he taught me to care for the poor, and that our Lord bids at least some people to sell all they have and give it to the poor.
It's right in the Gospel.
That's right in the Gospel, yes. And so when I was 14 years old, we had a neighbor. And the neighbor, I'm not sure quite how it happened, but he lost all of his fortune. It might have been pirates that stole it, or it might have been an economic downturn. I don't really recall, but he was destitute. He and his three daughters, Sophia, Macrina, and Zoe.
Wow, you have a good memory there, Saint Nicholas.
Yes.
That must have been, 1600 years ago?
About 1700
years ago. About 1700 years ago. Wow,
yes.
Okay. Very good.
And so they had suitors, and they were ready to get married, but at that time, the father had to provide a dowry for his daughters to be married.
I don't know if you understand 21st century America, St. Nicholas, but we don't do dowries anymore. Are you aware of that? I'm not sure if you are.
Well, I was about to explain.
Okay, yeah. Why don't you explain to us what that means?
So the father would provide a certain sum of money for the newly married couple to establish their household and provide for them so they could begin to have children and that sort of thing. And they couldn't get married unless they had this dowry. And as it turned out in those days, another difference between those days and today's 21st century world, there was only one profession that was open to women, and you can guess what it was.
Other than being a mother, I would imagine, and a wife.
For unmarried women.
Oh, I see.
They could either be sold into slavery, or they could be prostitutes.
Or they could be taken care of by their father and then their husband. Is that what you're saying?
Right.
I mean, not all women went to one of those two.
If they were married, their husbands would take care of them.
Okay, so in other words, St. Nicholas, I think what you're saying is that unmarried women, if they never did get married, had a very bleak future ahead of them in your world.
Yes.
Ah, okay. So it was important then for women to find a husband.
Yes,
very important. Yeah.
And to have that dowry.
Okay. So there was no dowry here.
There's no dowry because he didn't have the money. The father didn't have the money.
Hmm.
And so So I took it on upon myself. I said, you know, I have this large inheritance from my parents, and there are people in need of a dowry in order to be married, or this terrible fate will befall them. And so I thought about it, and I decided to take some of my inheritance and surreptitiously give it to the women.
Wow. So, St. Nicholas, how old were you approximately when this
happened? I was 14.
You were 14 years old. Wow. We need hear that music?
Yes.
That comes from phonographs, which...
Phonographs?
Yeah,
really?
Yeah, there's something called electricity today, and that's why this room here is lit up.
I was wondering about that.
Yeah. So we have electricity, we have music. I'll explain it to you all off the air, but right now we have to take a quick break, St. Nicholas. 4th century bishop from Myra. Next to him is Santa Claus, and we'll get more from him as the show goes along. Our phone number here at Beneath the Surface is 978-454-4980. I'm Paul Morano, delving beneath the surface with Santa Claus and St. Nicholas tonight. We'll be back right after this. And we're back. 978-454-4980 is our phone number at Beneath the Surface, here till 11 o'clock. Tonight, a very special show, a pre-Christmas show, in fact. We have two very, very distinguished guests. Came from both another century and another part of the world. In front of me, I have two guests, St. Nicholas and Santa Claus.
Ho, ho, ho!
And if you'd like to talk to either one of them, our phone number again is 978-454-4980. So before the break, St. Nicholas, we were talking to you. You were the bishop of Myra in modern-day Turkey, and you were telling us the story about how you became the patron saint of children, and it had to do with offering up your own money to these girls' dowries, so that they wouldn't have to be sold into slavery or prostitution.
Yes, yes.
Want to finish that story for us?
Absolutely. So I resolved that I was going to supply their dowry for them under cover of darkness. So when my uncle was away, I grabbed the key to the chest that held my inheritance and dipped into it and got 3 gold coins and put them in a bag. And as stealthily as a cat, I stole away and went to my neighbor's house and tossed the bag of coins into the window.
Ah. And apparently they knew who it was?
No, they didn't know who it was.
Oh, eventually somebody found out, because this led to, at least, you becoming the patron saint of children.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, well... Alas, when I provided the dowry for the third, for Zoe, the third daughter, her father had suspicions that there was a human agency involved, and he had stayed up all night keeping vigil, watching to see who would come and throw the coins into the window. And he confronted me about it and said, and then he knew, he said, oh, Saint, I wasn't a saint then, but
yes.
Nicholas, how you're so young? How can how is it that you're doing this? And
yeah.
I said, all credit belongs to God. Please don't tell anyone that I did this.
All right. Well, I don't know who told, but somebody did, and hence we know all about it today. But Saint Nicholas, you were 14 years old at that time, and obviously you grew up. You became a priest and then a bishop within the Catholic Church, and lots of this is shrouded, but some is historical, like you presiding with other bishops at the Council of Nicaea, what's considered the first, other than the Jerusalem Council in the Bible, the first ecumenical council of church history.
Yes, I was the 151st bishop of the Council of Nicaea.
Okay, I want to ask you about that a little later in the show, but first let me just talk to Santa Claus, who is sitting right next to you. By the way, did you two meet before the show? Did you get to say hello?
We rode up together.
Oh, good. So you have met. That's excellent.
Rough sleigh.
What was that?
Rough sleigh.
Yes. Oh, it was a rough sleigh, was it? Okay. Well, Santa Claus, you parked your sleigh in Lowell, Santa Claus?
Yeah, right on the roof.
Oh, on the roof. Okay, no wonder, because I think they would have towed it away.
It would have been conspicuous if we put it down on the street level.
Yes, Santa Claus. Santa Claus, a few things I want to ask you about. First of all, how is it that you do this trip around the entire world year after year after year, and you seem to never tire?
Well, it's good eating. And a lot of it is really, I think, a grace from God, where God helps me carry out my mission every year.
Now, do you really fly with the reindeer, or is that just stuff that you
Yes,
see on
I have reindeer.
Television?
Yeah, that's what you see there with the
And these
the,
reindeer fly.
These reindeer fly. Yes,
okay.
Another gift.
Now the
I heard it was magic corn that causes them to fly. Is that true?
Is that true?
This is all trade secret sort of stuff. I can't divulge that sort of stuff.
Now, is it true that your flying reindeer pretty much remain the same every year? What is there, 9 of them or 12 of them? Or?
Okay, well, they're the traditional 8.
Okay, there are 8 reindeer.
Dasher, Dancer, Prancer, Vixen, Comet, Cupid.
Yeah.
Donder, and Blitzen.
I didn't know there was a D in Donder.
Donder. Well, some people say Donner.
Yeah, like me.
Yeah. I call him Donder.
Okay.
Thunder and Lightning.
Okay. So, what about Rudolph?
Okay, Rudolph was the later addition.
Yeah.
And there was that one time when it became very difficult to fly out of the North Pole because of the weather. And Rudolph was there with his nose so bright, guiding the way through the night.
Wow.
Yeah. Yes.
So, I've seen the animated show. And
right.
I didn't know how much that was true.
You know, it's mostly true. They've forgotten Olive.
Olive?
The reindeer Olive, yes.
Oh, no, I've never heard of Olive.
Olive, the other reindeer.
Olive, the other reindeer. Ah.
Oh,
yes, indeed. 978-454-4980 is our phone number. All of the other reindeer, too, yes. Santa Claus, one question I have. It looks like we have a phone call, but one quick question I have for you now. When I watch the animated version of what you do, which Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Yes.
From your sleigh, you took the Tories and you gave them little umbrellas, and they went down the chimney. I always believed you went down the chimney.
I do.
You do. Okay.
Yes.
So that was just a
people kind of yes. A lot of people, you know, movies and TV, they just dramatize things.
Yeah.
And everything.
Yeah. That must have gotten you angry. Yeah. Exactly. How do you fit?
How do I fit?
I mean, you're pretty round, if you don't mind.
Yeah. And these days, there aren't many fireplaces in houses either.
Yeah,
they
so
still
what do you do?
Am able to go through a special technique through the chimney anyways and get into the house and distribute the gifts.
That is really neat.
I don't get sooty at all, you know?
Yeah, I mean, your suit looks like it's brand spanking clean. Yeah. Very good. Wow. Incredible. It looks like we have a phone call. Hello, you're on the air with St. Nicholas and Santa Claus.
Hey, this is Frank. Frank Claus. I'm Santa's little brother.
Oh, Frank Claus, the brother of Santa Claus.
Yep. The one, the only, the one that no one knows. But hey, it's okay.
Welcome to Beneath the Surface, Frank. So you're the younger brother of Santa Claus?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, what's a few hundred years?
Nothing to me. So tell me what it was like growing up with Santa Claus as your big brother. I don't know if anybody knows this.
Well, I just didn't, you know, have the stuff that he got, you know. Like, mom, dad, you know, they give him, like, all this magic. And me, I'm a truck driver. I live in Connecticut.
Isn't that interesting? Wait a minute.
You know, he drives the reindeer. I drive a rig. No.
I hear you, but didn't you grow up in the North Pole? When did you move to Connecticut?
Well, you know, a few hundred years later.
Oh, I see.
I don't got, like, magic like he's got, but, you know, it keeps me going a little while.
I see, and that, of course, explains your accent. It's not
a
North Polean accent.
Very, very North Polean, like Napoleon.
Yeah,
Napoleon.
Indeed.
Or, like,
now,
yeah.
Now, Frank, are you still friends with all those elves up there in the North Pole, or have you cut bait with everybody up there?
No, you know, like, I visit, you know, like, not Christmas, really busy for them then, but, you know, like, Easter and other times, you know, I'll go over and hang out, you know, when I'm not running the rig.
Yeah, Santa Claus, you never told us that you had a brother.
Well, sometimes there's been a little bit of a falling out, and I don't want to go over bad times or anything like that. He's a good brother.
I see.
Yeah, I get over it, you know, when I'm younger, you know, I don't get, like, the little magic with the reindeers, I'm throwing a fit, but, you know, hey, I get older, you know, it's okay.
Yeah, so Frank, you're also many centuries old?
Something like that. Not like Santa, you know.
Yeah.
He's got, like I said, a few hundred years on me, but, you know.
Yeah.
I'm as old as my tongue and a little bit older than my teeth.
I see. Frank, is it true that when you were growing up, Santa got all the girls?
Well, you know, I don't like to brag, but, you know, he only got one. I mean, it's the Mrs. Claus, but, hey, you know, all you need is one.
That's all you need.
That's what I say.
That's all you need. All right, so, Santa, I'm glad, Frank, you called, because I always wondered about this. Santa, did you ever have a substitute? Didn't you ever get sick some Christmas that you couldn't do your universal, you know, gift
there,
drop
there,
to
there,
the
there, there
to
there
the
have
world.
Been some very close calls, you know, being sick right up to Christmas Eve, but
yeah.
I've always been able to carry through the day, so sometimes I would take Frank along with me, you know, for a little bit of a joy ride.
But he never took your place on any Christmas.
No, he never did.
Frank, is that true?
Yep, that's pretty much it. I go for the joyride, baby. I just sit in the back and I let the wind go through my hair. Woohoo!
Indeed. All right, 978-454-4980 is our phone number. Thank you, Frank Claus, younger brother of Santa Claus, for calling WCAP tonight.
Obi-dope-dope.
It was fun having you on. Thank you.
Obi-dope.
All right, so I bet you didn't know that your brother was calling tonight, Santa.
I did not know.
Yeah. And,
though I do know if boys are and girls are naughty or nice.
Yeah, okay. That's what I want to get into. How do you know that?
Yeah,
how do you know?
Yeah, there's a little bit of a malicious stuff going around about these elves on the shelf.
Yeah, what's that new? That's a kind of a new thing, isn't it?
Deal
with that?
I don't get, you know, all the news directly about those sort of things, but this seems to be a bit of a thing where Santa has this spy elf network going around and spying on kids.
Is it true?
No, not at all.
All
I have is the elves. They're making toys night and day and constructing those sorts of things. You know, the Santa factory up at the North Pole.
I see.
But no elves are spying around on people.
So they stay in the North Pole, these elves.
These elves, yes, they stay at the North Pole.
Okay, so all of those fake doll elves, they're really just, that's nonsense.
Well, I guess it's commercial. Everything is commercial these days. It's a terrible thing. They're using Santas to, you know, at malls and various things to promote the toys and stores and things. But, no, that's not really what Christmas is all about, buying toys.
Before I get back to St. Nicholas, Santa Claus, could you tell me what Christmas is all about?
Well, primarily Christmas is all about Jesus Christ, the birth of Jesus Christ. People kind of forget that these days, getting lost in all the gift giving and the decorating and
but
everything.
But do you feel a little responsible for that?
Well, it could be pinned on me, I suppose. You know, some good things are sometimes twisted into bad. And so that could happen. I guess I could be responsible for that.
Okay.
But primarily, it's for the good. I mean, Santa is a good male role model.
Okay.
A person who is giving of himself. He's not thinking about getting.
And all of this, of course, is how is your similarity to the guy next to you, St. Nicholas.
Right, yes.
Yes. St. Nicholas, back to you.
Yes.
Just want to get a little more historical into how you are known today in the 21st century. You presided at one of the most important church councils in the history, where it is believed by the church that the Holy Spirit led and guided the bishops from around the world at the time to better articulate who Christ and his church is. Want to just say a little bit about what you did and what the Council of Nicaea was all about?
Well, I wouldn't quite say that I presided, but I was a participant in it.
Yes.
And the question at hand was whether Jesus Christ was truly God, or whether the uncreated God, or whether he was a creature, God's the Father's first creature.
Now, it's pretty clear to most people who read the Gospel of John that he is the uncreated Word of the Father who became flesh and dwelt among us. What was the problem with understanding that Christ was God, co-equal to the Father and to the Holy Spirit at that time?
Well, there are some verses in the Old Testament, in the book, I believe it was the book of Proverbs, that lent some credence when interpreted in a certain way to our opponent's argument. Our opponent was by the name of
Arius,
yes.
Yeah, we heard of him. We still read about him today in the 21st century.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. So he spread this heresy that Christ was the first among all creation, but not necessarily divine. And that's why you bishops got together in the 4th century to try to squelch this heresy?
Yes.
If I could just finish this story before we go to break. So... what was your role there? Did you help try to... What did you do there at the Council of Nicaea?
I helped Athanasius and the other bishops to defend the truth about Christ and put to rest these vicious and scurrilous heresies about his nature.
So with your help at this council, the church was better able to articulate that God was three persons and Christ was one of those persons of God. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Now, there's a scurrilous rumor that that I actually slapped Arius in the face. There's no truth to it, but that rumor has been circulating.
It's been circulating all around, especially in pre-Christmas time. You see it on... I'll tell you what the word internet means off the break, but it's very often on Facebook and the internet, these memes about how you slapped Arius. But you're saying that wasn't true. Or what are you saying?
I'm saying the scurrilous rumors.
Okay. So, St. Nicholas won't tell us whether these rumors are true or not. But anyway, we shall take a break here at Beneath the Surface with my very special guest tonight, St. Nicholas and Santa Claus. And right after the break, we'll talk a little more to Santa Claus about what he does and what he knows. You're listening to Beneath the Surface. I'm Paul Morano. Back right after this.
I'm very, very worried, Mr. Santa Claus. I've got a very big problem, and it's all because when you get to my house, you will see we haven't got a chimney. Well, my behavior, Santa Claus, has been...
There you go. Well, you're listening to WCAP Radio, Beneath the Surface, here until 11 o'clock. Paul Morano with my very special guest tonight. Here from the North Pole is Santa Claus, and here from the 4th century Asia Minor, modern-day Turkey, is St. Nicholas himself. Let me get back to you, Santa Claus.
Ho, ho, ho.
Yes, indeed. Why do you say that, by the way?
Because I'm happy.
Well, I guess that's a good reason to ho, 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 I would guess, yes. So, Santa Claus, tell me more about life in the North Pole. Do you really live there, like, all year round?
Yes,
why
I do.
Why don't you ever do, like, talk show circuits or anything, you know?
Do I really need to, Paul?
I don't think you need to.
I get enough publicity as it is, and some of it is negative.
Now, Santa, do you ever get tired and say, I want to retire. I don't want to do this Christmas thing anymore.
Well, no. This is my job. This is my vocation. I get to fulfill it every year on Christmas Day. Well, actually, Christmas Eve, flying around with the reindeer, giving all the gifts.
So you look forward to it?
I look forward to it, yes. Especially Christmas Eve, yes. Look forward to it all.
Do you always wear that hat with the pom-pom at the end?
Well, basically around the northern climes I do, but when it gets to Hawaii, I kind of dress down a little bit, you know, Hawaii Santa suit. And
now, how, I can't imagine that, but...
It's red.
Okay. Ho, ho, indeed. So how long does it take you every Christmas Eve to do this from one side of the world to the other?
Well, you know that there are 24 time zones?
Yes.
24 hours.
It takes you 24 hours to do it. Wow.
One time zone at a time, yes.
Yeah. What is life like in the North Pole between Christmases? Tell me a little bit about it.
Well, you've heard of the British nation?
Yes.
And the French nation?
Yes.
Well, the North Pole is the imagination.
I see. Wow.
So there is, it's a very, I guess I will say, magical land. It's very comfortable, unlike what you might imagine it to be, very cold and freezing there.
Yes, but you find it comfortable.
Well, at the village up there in Santa's castle, we keep ourselves very warm.
And
plus, I've got all this fat to keep me warm.
And you certainly do. Are there only elves that live in the North Pole, other than you and Mrs. Claus?
Well, yeah, there are a few humans that help out with various things, but mostly it's elves that are there. I'd say maybe 90% of the population is elf.
Wow. Okay. 978-454-4980 is our phone number here at Beneath the Surface. We're talking to Santa Claus and St. Nicholas, two very special guests tonight here on December 18th. You're looking forward to flying this year, Santa?
Sure thing. We've been training all year for this. This is going to be one of the good years here.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay. So, why do you say that?
Well...
Okay.
Oh,
looks like we have a phone call. All right. We have a phone call from... it looks like the mayor of North Pole...
Hey, Holly!
...is calling...
Hello.
Mrs. Mayor, welcome to Beneath the Surface.
Thank you very much.
Now, you're the mayor of North Pole, are you?
Yes, of the imagination.
Of the imagination, yes. And are you the first female mayor ever of the North Pole?
Yes, you've heard that good news. It's very exciting.
Wow.
Santa Claus really helped with that.
Ah, Santa Claus helped you. Santa, you involved in politics?
I endorsed her, yes.
Oh, you endorsed Mrs. Holly Carroll.
Holly, yes.
Mayor Carroll, yes.
Yeah, she was one of the very hard workers at the Santa's workshop up there at the North Pole, and we needed some good leadership handling all the various things that I really can't handle since I'm dealing with getting all the toys done and determining who's naughty or nice.
Yeah, now Santa Claus...
It's a year-round job.
Santa Claus, I think a lot of people see you as traditional and grandfatherly, and perhaps some on the left might even see you as, or at least imagine you as being sexist. And here you are, endorsing the first female mayor of the North Pole.
Haven't you heard of the Queen of England?
Yes.
I mean, there have been women leaders throughout history, so what are you talking about?
I don't know. I'm just... trying to play devil's advocate and project what other people might be thinking of you, Santa Claus. So, Mayor Carroll, are you an elf? I heard that 90% of the population of the North Pole are elves.
Yes, I'm an elf, and Santa Claus is known to not judge people on their genders or elfness or humanness or reindeerness. He just is very open and selfless and tries to build any living being up that he meets.
Very cool. So Santa, are elves considered equal amongst the population of the North Pole?
Yes. There's been this terrible rumors about the elves unionizing and striking and all that sort of stuff. Terrible, malicious rumors.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it doesn't...
Meant to divide, not to unite us the way we strive to be.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. Very, very fascinating. Santa, we had your brother on, Frank Claus, and now we have the mayor of the North Pole. I didn't know all of these. It's amazing how people can call from the North Pole because they know you're going to be on the radio.
Well,
we're very excited. We're all listening and right by the radio.
Are you near the reindeer, Mayor Carroll?
I'm not right near them. They're listening at another connection.
Okay. All right. Very good. Is there any law or any laws in the North Pole that keep people from flying, from non-aviation just contraptions? I mean, is it okay for Santa Claus to fly his sleigh whenever he wants?
Of course. Okay. Of course. And we all want to help with that as well as needed. Yeah.
Well, I've also contacted various governments as well.
I just wanted
you must know that NORAD tracks me mm-hmm. going throughout the world. NORAD, the North American Defense Center or Department or something like that.
Okay.
Radar. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And Mayor, I assume that you're in contact with all these governments around the world just to make sure things are kosher?
Exactly, to make sure there's no safety hazards and all the paths are clear, and yes, definitely.
Okay, and being an elf, I bet you never thought that you'd grow up to be mayor of the North Pole.
No, I never thought that, but everything's possible in imagination.
Yes. Any last things you want to say, Mayor Carroll, before we go on to something else here?
No, I just am very pleased and grateful to be mayor, and that, of course, Santa emphasized what Christmas is all about, and that he didn't forget all of the other reindeers is great. So we're all so excited to be listening to you on air.
All right. Thank you very much for calling in.
Nice hearing for you, Holly.
Mayor Holly Carroll of the North Pole. Thank you very much. 978-454-4980 is our phone number. In our very special BTS Beneath the Surface show before Christmas calls. What is the show called, by the way? What did I call this show?
I don't know.
Oh, yeah, I know what I called this show. St. Nicholas Meets Santa Claus. And that's exactly what happened here.
Hi, St. Nicholas.
Hi, Santa Claus.
So, you two sitting next to each other, St. Nicholas and Santa Claus, is there anything that you want to ask the other or say to the other? I mean, I know, St. Nicholas, you come from the 3rd and 4th century A.D. I don't even know when you come from, Santa Claus. You've been around for a long time.
Yes, it's indeterminate.
It's indeterminate. So I guess time wouldn't really be a problem between you two. I think you two understand each other.
Yes, well, both of us... I'm obviously the older one of the two of us. I don't know. What questions do I have for this doppelganger who's this upstart who is this usurper?
So are you a little perturbed that Santa Claus took your identity after all these centuries?
I am a little perturbed, although he does make a valid point that imitation is the sincerest form of flattery.
And Santa Claus, are you proud to have morphed out of St. Nicholas?
Sure, yes. I'm very happy to be who I am, but I'm also proud of my St. Nicholas roots. You know, obviously he was a very good person and someone to be emulated and copied.
St. Nicholas, what does it mean to be a saint? Tell us, the non-Catholics out there, what that means and how you became one.
Well, the word saint simply means holy one.
Okay.
It comes from the Latin word sanctus, which means holy. And in the early church, they recognized certain people as being of upstanding holiness and heroic virtue, and they would call them Holy Paul or Holy Peter or whatever as a descriptive qualifier. And eventually it turned into a kind of a title. Well, it did turn into a title.
Okay. Is there a process that goes on in the Catholic Church that's what they call a canonization process?
There is. That came about, I think, in the 11th century or thereabouts, where it was more formalized, because before then it was something that the local bishop would do, or the people would, by mutual acclamation, declare someone to be a saint. And that was the method by which that I became a saint. Just the people so appreciated the work that I had done that they said, there's no question. I believe you have the saint of Saint Teresa of Calcutta.
Yes.
Kolkata. When she died, everyone just knew that she was a saint, and they recognized her as such even before she was formally recognized.
Yeah. And when the church does formally recognize somebody who has died as a saint, this means that we can have a surety that this person now is in heaven in the fullness of the presence of God. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
And they intercede for us, as I have interceded for many, many people throughout the years.
Including children,
yes.
So there really is a St. Nicholas.
There really is a St. Nicholas, and you can even pray to him
and
ask him for his miraculous help.
He's still alive today, although albeit in heaven.
In heaven, yes. That's where I normally reside, and I'm very grateful to God for allowing me to make an appearance here on earth tonight.
I am very, we are more than honored to have you here, St. Nicholas. Santa Claus. You've got some big shoes to fill here.
I do.
Being
May I ask something of my friend over here?
Sure, you can, Santa Claus.
St. Nicholas, would you pray for me?
Absolutely, Santa. I will pray for you.
I find it very comforting that both of you gentlemen are centered around the baby Jesus in this season. And even though St. Nicholas, obviously, that was his life, to defend and promote the good news of Jesus Christ. In a way, you do the same thing, although you do it to all the children in the world, whether they be Catholic or not, or Christian or not.
Right. Well, this is the mission of Jesus that I've taken on, to care for the lowly, and to see the little child Jesus in all the little children of the world. You know, Jesus was very, very fond of children.
Yes.
You see, he would say, "Bring the children to me." So there is that.
I see, and you take on that as your charism, if you will.
Yes, it's a gift. A charism is a gift.
Mm. There is this, Santa Claus, there is this ceramic that I have in my home that's sold.
I've noticed that, Paul.
Wow, you do know a lot of things, Santa Claus.
Well, I do visit everybody's house on Christmas Eve.
That's amazing.
So I noticed this little ceramic saint.
Yep.
Santa Claus or Father Christmas, I think, is probably more properly attributed to, but kneeling in front of Jesus in the manger, baby Jesus in the manger.
With your hat off.
Right.
Just kneeling to him.
A sign of respect.
It's been more than a pleasure, Santa Claus.
And ho, ho, ho.
And St. Nicholas.
Thank you, Paul.
To have both of you here on Beneath the Surface tonight. I learned a lot, and I'm sure all of our listeners did too. Gentlemen, please pray for me and our listeners.
May Almighty God bless you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Have a great night, everybody. A blessed Christmas season. And we'll be back with Beneath the Surface later on. I'm not sure when, but it'll be after Christmas. Thank you, everybody, and we'll probably have a repeat on Christmas Day. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Here from Beneath the Surface, I'm Paul Morano with St. Nicholas and Santa Claus.
Ho, ho, ho.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
It's so much more than just a profile picture. At Catholic Singles, our platform offers you many opportunities to get to know the person behind the picture. Sign up today at CatholicSingles.com.
Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at KaneFord.com.